Sebre of Les Shabbos, Parshavei Yorah, the Torah mentions, Hu Arim Neshe, Asheroma Adishem Lohem, Hoitzioz Ne Yisroel Me'at Mitzrayim Al Tideisam. Heim Hamdabrim Al Parim Melech Mitzrayim, Lehitzioz Ne Yisroel Mitzrayim, Hu Meshe Barim. So in Pasuk Chavov, the Torah mentions the names of the two leaders of the Jewish people who were the spokesmen for Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. And the Torah in Pasuk Chavov mentions the name of Aaron before the name of Moshe. Shmei Svov Posik Chobov Hu Aron Meshe Asher Omar Ad Hashem Lohem Hoitzio Es Bnei Yisroel Me'aretz Mitzrayim Al Tzivesam. So Aron is mentioned first. Heim Abdabrim Al Parim Melech Mitzrayim Lehitzio Es Bnei Yisroel Me'mitzroyim Hu Meshe Ve'aron. So in the second Pasik, in Pasik Chob Zion, the order is reversed and Moshe's name is mentioned before us. Why? Why this variance? So, Rashi discusses it. Pasuk Chavov, Hu Aron Meshe, Elu Shehuzkeru Lemailo, Sheyodo Yecheved Leamrom, Hu Aron Meshe, Asher Omar Ad Hashem, Shmei Srabe, but actually, it's also, it is set to increases. Yesh Mikemeis, Shemagdim Aron Meshe, Yesh Mikemeis, Shemagdim Meshe Laaron. So the reason as to why in one Pasik, in Pasik Chavod, the Torah mentions Aaron's name first, and in the second Pasik, in Pasik Chav Zion, the Torah mentions Moshe's name first, to advise us that they are shokot, they are both equal. They are both on par. At first blush it appears that what Rashi means, it's not Rashi, it's Chazal, it's the Meresh Rabbe, it's the Tosefta increases, that the caliber of Moshe and the caliber of Aaron was up. In other words, Moshe was not superior to Aaron, Aaron was not superior to Moshe. This is the superficial impression that one is apt to get when he goes over this Rashi, superficial. But that we could not say. The Rambam, in the Pirush HaMishnah Sanhedrin and Pirush Chilek, where the Rambam mentions the Yud Gimel Ikrim, so one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Animaimis is Shenivuas Meishe Rabbeinu Olav Asholem Hoysa Amitis Vishehu Oyo Avram Din Lakedin Lufonov Laboi Machov. The Rambam elaborates. In the Animaimim we say it briefly, but I don't even know whether this lotion of the Animaimim was composed by the Rambam or it was composed by others in conformity to the Rambam's Pirush HaMishneh in Sanhedrin. Whatever. But in the Pirush HaMishneh, in Chilek, the Rambam elaborates and in discussing this Iker of Yadus, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adin Kol HaNaviim. The Rambam says that this Iker does not only imply that Moshe Rabbeinu, Nevius wise, was the Adin HaNaviim, was attained the greatest degree of perfection in prophecy, but in general, Moshe Rabbeinu attained the greatest degree of perfection in the realm of Mailos HaSichliyos, in the realm of intellectual understanding, and in the realm of Mailos HaMiyos. And that is one of the Ikrei Hayagos. And the Rambam bases it upon the pasuk in Baaleischa. In Baaleischa, Bamidbar Yudveis, pasuk Vov, Zayin, Ches. Vayomer Shimon Advaroi, im Yir Nivyachem Adishem Bamaro, אלו וספדו, בחלוי מדבבי, ליחי מעבדימי שה, בכל בי סיננו, פל פה דבבי, ומר אבלי בחידס, ושמונה סדי שם יעבית, ומדוע לירי סם, לדבר בעבדימי שה. So the Rambam says, this parasha implies not only that Rameish Rabbeinu had attained the greatest degree of perfection in Nivuah, that goes without saying, but also that Moshe Rabbeinu had attained the greatest degree of perfection in Mailos HaMiyos and in Mailos HaSichliyos. Not anyone prior to Moshe and no one subsequent to Moshe will attain that degree of perfection, either in Mailos HaSichliyos or in Mailos HaMiyos. It's true, I mean, the Rambam says this, that there is clear chofshis, there is freedom of will, and that anyone is free to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. Alright, he's free, but the fact is, this pasuk tells us, lo yichin avdi Moshe b'chol beis inemenu, that Moshe Rabbeinu had attained the greatest degree of perfection that any man throughout the generations has ever or will ever attain. It's true, he's free, but we know that no one will ever attain the degree of perfection that Moshe Rabbeinu attained. He's free, but the fact is that no one did and no one will. And that the Rambam mentions in Pirush HaMishneh is one of the Ikrim of Yavs, not just Adin Adin. In the Nemanim we emphasize Nibuli Adin Adin, Adlam Bin, but it's not only in Nibuli. In general, in the realm of Mailos HaMiyos and in the realm of Mailos HaSichliyos. It's true, you'll find certain Mamore Chazal that on the surface appear to say that this one was greater, that the others were greater, but not all the Mamore Chazal do we understand. There are certain Mamore Chazal that we don't understand. So it has to be explained that this is one of the Ikrei Hayagos, that no one has ever will ever attain the degree of perfection that Moshe Rabbeinu has attained. And the Rambam, also in Pirush HaMishneh, when he discusses the Melech HaMashiach, so he says the Melech HaMashiach will be such a chochem, and will be not in everything. Call it, but chas v'sholem to say, like me. So how can we understand this Chazal that Rashi mentions in this Sedra of Rosh Shabbos, Milamit Sheshkubnei, that Moshe and Aaron worship one part. That's inconsistent with one of the Ikrei Hayadus. No one, no human being has been shokul l'meish, not even the others. So, there must be another pshat in this Rashi, in this Chazal. Leim aloch sheshkulim yesh mikeni shemagdim aron l'meishe v'yesh mikeni shemagdim meishe l'arein Leimar sheshkulin kiach. In the settler of the previous week of Shmeis, the Shabbos was the settler of Aaron. So the Torah tells us in Shmeis Daled Posig Yudaled Vayichar af Adishem B'meishe Vayimea Halei Ari Nochicho Halevi Yodati Ki Dabe Yidabe Hu Vigam Hinei Hu Yeitzi Likhosecho V'ro'acho v'soma v'ribe. And then it is mentioned in Shmeis Daled Posik Chot Zayin V'yimer Adishem L'arein Leich Likras Meishe Hamidboro V'yilech V'yivgisheyu B'ar Elikim V'yishakze. The Meresh Rabbe on this Pasik says Hadol Yuchsiv, it's a Pasik in Tehillim, Perek Pehei, Chesed V'Emes Nivgoshu Tzedek V'Sholom Nashoku. Chesed and Emes, generosity and truth met. Righteousness and peace kissed each other, embraced each other. So, chesed jar. Chesed is Aaron. Aaron was the symbol of chesed. Shenema, how do we know? Ulevi yoma, tumecho beyurecho, liish chesedecho. Hashemisisi dimaso terbe yalmin alivu. So that's chesedecho, chesed. Lady, that's Kiri Kani, that's Aaron. Emos, the Moshe. Moshe was the personification of Emos. How do you know? Shenema uvichol beisi ne'emon. That's in the parish in Balais. Tzedek, the Moshe. Tzedek is Moshe, because Moshe was the perfect personification of tzedek, of justice, of righteousness. Shenema, I remember that half of the pasuk, that there is aloche called Psukim Lipaskin Meisha Lipaskinon, so I want to say the whole pasuk. Vayareish Yisrael, Kishom Chalkas Mechiki Ksofon, that's Moshe. Vayesi Rosh Yom, Tzitkas Adishem Oso, to Mishpotov in Israel. Titkas Hashem also. So that has referenced the mention. Moshe was the personification of Tzedek. Shalom. Tzedek v'sholem neshoku. Shalom zal. Shenema v'sholem v'nisheya. Holachiti. The rabbi mentioned not. Sitze chayim v'shmur das. V'sirei v'achim pir. Shalom v'nisheya holachiti. The rabbi mentioned not. So that means when Moshe met Aaron, so then there was a rendezvous, a meeting between Moshe, who personified Emes and Tzedek, and Aaron, who personified Chesed and Shalom. Of course, Chazal don't mean Chassid Shalom that Moshe was dedicated to Tzedek and to Emes, not to Shalom and to Chesed. And Chazal don't mean that Aaron was dedicated to Chesed and Shalom and not to Tzedek and Emes. But while Moshe was dedicated not only to Tzedek and to Emes, but also to Chesed and Shalom, that he personified primarily Tzedek and Emes. While Aaron was dedicated not only to Chesed and Shalom, but also to Tzedek and Emes, that he personified primarily Chesed and Shalom. So I think Chazal say, Yesh mikeni shemagdim Aaron l'meisha, Yesh mikeni shemagdim meisha l'Aaron, Leim aloch sheshkulim ki'achot. Chazal don't mean that personality-wise, so Aaron and Meisha are shkulim. That's impossible. No one was like Meisha. But as far as the midas, that Moshe personified, and the midas that Aaron personified. What were the midas that Moshe personified? Tzedek and Emes. What were the midas that Aaron personified? Chesed and Shalom. As far as the midas of Chesed and Shalom, vis-a-vis the midas of Tzedek and Emes, are concerned, said Ashford. One cannot say, Chesed and Shalom are more important than Tzedek and Emes. One cannot say, Tzedek and Emes are more important than Chesed. They are both. But we have to strike a balance. Sometimes, many times, maybe most of the time, there is a conflict. There is an apparent conflict, a dichotomy between Chesed and Shalom, between Chesed and Shalom, between Chesed and Emes, between Tzedek and Emes, between Tzedek and Shalom. So we cannot say, well, this is more important than this. Never mind Tzedek, Emes. Most important thing is Shalom. This is the most popular concept. Shalom. Peace at all costs. Now, don't ask for me, but how do we realize a synthesis or a conciliation, a harmony between these needs that are seemingly diametrically opposed to each other? Well, that is the thing that we have to do. But Baruch Hashem. Now, so this is what Chazal mean. The reason as to why in Pasuk Chavov Aaron is mentioned first, and in Pasuk Chav Zion Meisha is mentioned first, to advise us that the Midas that Moshe represented and Aaron represented are both equal. You cannot sacrifice one because of the other. But it is remarked. Now, the Torah before tells us, by Dabir Adishem al Meishalimei, Vei Dabir al Tarei Melech Mitzroim, Vei Shalach Ez Nei Yisroel Na'aretze. By Dabir Meishel Lefnei Adishem Leimei, Hin Bnei Yisroel Lishom Elai, Veilich Yishmei Nifarei, Vani Aral Sfasein. The Medrash says that this is one of the kalachemas of logic that the Torah mentions. Kalachema of logic is a very simple and self-evident kalachema. And may Yisrael shon alai, ve'ich nishmei nifarei, v'ani agal sfasai. V'adabe Rabbi Shem al Meished al Arein, ועל צבים על בני ישראל ועל פארי מלך מצרים להיציא את בני ישראל מארץ מצרים. No, we don't find that Rabbeinu Shalom mentioned the parrot and answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's query, question. Moshe Rabbeinu raised a very important question before the Rabbeinu Shalom. In Bnei Yisrael Shomerai, ואיך ישמעי נפארי כלוחמה, plain logic. Did he give you an answer? Why? How is it that Rabbeinu Shalom did not give you an answer? Obviously, the answer is implicit in Pasuk Yud Gimel. וידבר עד השם על מישב על הרי ועצבים על בני ישראל ועל פארי מלך מצרים להיציא את בני ישראל מארץ מצרים. In other words, what in effect the Rabbeinu Shalom said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you raise a very important question. Kalachema of logic. And בני ישראל לא ישמעו אליי ואיך ישמעי נפארי ואני הרעו צפסוי. זה עיקר מחיימה. But the answer is that the destiny of Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people, is not based upon logic. We cannot understand the history of the Jewish people throughout the generations on the basis of logic. On the basis of logic, so we know what the Maskoni was. Titus HaRosha. Titus HaRosha. Over 1900 years ago. So he mentioned the answer on the basis of logic. What was it? He built a gate in Rome to symbolize the vanishing Jew. The same logical conclusion that the Reader's Digest 50 years ago discussed in a series of articles. I know it's older than you, but I had, in those days I followed up the series of articles. It was such a devotion. The vanishing Jew, of course the vanishing Jew. It was a devotion in the days of Titus HaRosha. And that was, but Titus HaRosha, instead of writing an article in the Reader's Digest, there was no Reader's Digest in those days. So he built a gate in Rome that symbolized the vanishing Jew. Well, did the Jew vanish? This is Sarosha vanish. This is Sarosha vanish. And it's not for the fact that Titus HaRosha was preserved in the Jewish tradition as Titus HaRosha, so he would hardly be remembered. All right, Shakespeare has a play about Titus also, but I think that if not for the fact that his name was preserved in Jewish tradition, even Shakespeare never met a Jew, so would not have written that play about Titus. Only because of the Jewish tradition, so he's remembered, all right? So according to Jewish tradition, it is Titus HaRosha. According to the Gentile tradition, Titus is one of the great personalities in the history of mankind. But did the Jew vanish? They vanish! The Jew didn't vanish! What about the logic? He was right! The answer is the destiny of the Jewish people defies all logic. You can't explain it on the basis of logic. How can you explain the survival of the Jewish people throughout the generations? After Yehudim by Sishin and after Yehudim by Sheni and after the Crusades and after the Holocaust in the time of Khmelnytsky and the survival of the Jewish people after this last Holocaust. How can you explain it? How can you even explain the establishment of indigenous Israel? How can you even explain the fact that Soviet Russia together with the United States wanted for the establishment of the Jewish nation, all by the United States, we understand. Truman, we understand. But even Truman is such a nice person. But if not for Jacobson, anyway, so he would not have supported the establishment only because of an unknown Jew, a partner in a Hibernian store who knew of it. So, but Stalin, the symbol of Sinas Yisrael, he joined Truman in demanding that the United Nations should adopt a resolution for the establishment of a Jewish state. Can you explain it out of logic? Impossible. Impossible. Out of logic, you can explain the logic of the articles in the Reader's Digest, but not the resolution by the United Nations. The answer is the destiny of the Jewish people defies the logic. This is what the Rebbeinu Shalom said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayidaber ad Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aharon ויצוויהם על בני ישראל ועל פרעה מלך מצרים להוציא את בני ישראל מארץ מצרים. משה רבנו יואסק, הם בני ישראל שומר על דרך ישמעאל מפרעה ואני ארעו ססעים. If it had been on a natural level, you would be right, but it's on a meta-natural level. But on a natural level, so why do we have to do anything? But the Rebbeinu Shalom wants the Jewish people to cooperate. So that's why the Rebbeinu Shalom said to Moshe and Aaron, "Vayitzaveim al bnei Yisrael, vel parei melech Mitzrayim, lehitzies mi Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim." You have to talk to the Jews, and you have to talk to parei. Moshe and Aaron had the double mission. First, to sell the idea of the delivery of the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage to the Israelites themselves. before you mention it to Pai. You have to convince them. Doesn't Bavion say? And there are many Doesn't Bavions in every generation that the goal is that in Eretz Zovas Cholov Udvosh. And then you have to speak to Paro Melech Mitzrayim. That's not what the logic. So we find now a remarkable paradox. In Pasuk Chavod, the Torah says, "Hu arinu meishe asher omar adishem lehem hoitzios me Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim al-tideisam." Pasuk of Zion, the Torah says, "Hey, man, davrin al paro melech Mitzrayim lehitzias me Yisroel Mitzrayim omei shadar." So, it is obvious that Pasuk Chavod discusses the mission that Moshe and Aaron had. Moshe and Aaron had in coping with the Jewish people, because they have a double mission. One, to cope with the Jewish people by Tzabein of Bnei Yisrael. Number two, to cope with Paro, the Paro of Yisrael. It is obvious that in Pasuk Chavod the Torah has reference to the mission incumbent upon nation Aaron to cope with the Jewish people. That they themselves should take out their sight from Egyptian bondage, get rid of the severity of the Dosan Vavion. Ashom Adishem Lahem, Hoitzios Ne Yisrael. Me'aras Mitzrayim al-Tzereisam. Pasuk of Zion obviously has reference to the mission that is incumbent that the nation are to cope with Paro, as it is mentioned explicitly. Heimam dabrim al Paro melech Mitzrayim lehitzias me Yisroel Mitzrayim humei shadar. So, it is true that in both missions there were two spokesmen. In the mission to cope with the Jews, as well as in the mission to cope with Paro. But who was the predominant spokesman in the mission to cope with the Jews? Obviously, Moshe. Who could be considered, I'm not saying that he was, but who could be considered as the predominant spokesman in the mission to cope with Paro? Then we could say, Aaron was the predominant spokesman, not Moshe, because Moshe complained before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe said, "Dayina Moshe," as it mentioned in Pasuk Lamed, "Dayina Moshe lifnei Adishem, hinani aral tzvosayim veich yishma elai Paro." "Vayimra Adishem al Moshe, rei nisaticho alikim li Paro, v'ari nochicho yie midiecho." Ki targumei mitogmenecho, your interpreter. So who was the interpreter before Paro Aaron? So we could say that vis-a-vis the mission to cope with the Jewish people, so Moshe was the main spokesman. Vis-a-vis the mission to cope with Paro Aaron, the interpreter, the interpreter, he was the main spokesman. So then it should be in the reverse order. Chosid Chavov, that deals with the mission to cope with the Jewish people. There, Moshe obviously was the main spokesman. So the Torah should say, Hu Moshe Aaron Asher Amad Hashem Lahem, Hu Yitzia Bnei Yisrael Me'ad Yisrael Hatzev Eisam. Then, in Pasuk of Zion, the deals with the mission to cope with Paro, where Aaron was the interpreter. So he could understand if the Torah would say, Hei Mamdabim Al Parim Reach Mitzrayim, Lehitzia Bnei Yisrael Yisrael, Hu Aaron Moshe. But we find that. Why? Why that? So it seems now that the Pshat and Lamech Yishkuvim Ke'echod, as I said before, is that the Midas symbolized by Aaron and the Midas symbolized by Moshe Ashkuvim. So we have to have a Mizuv, if I can express it that way. When you deal with the Jewish people, so you have to meet out not only the midas of Chesed and Shalom, not just to say, just Chesed and Shalom, Tokos, ignoring Tzedek, ignoring Emes, anything that seems to be conducive to Shalom, to Chesed, to goodwill, that should be pursued. No. Even in coping with this, the spiritual stability of Idosom Vavion, of course there is a Mitzvah of Havas Yisrael. The Torah recognizes the importance of the mitzvah of Havas Yisrael and Avos Habriyos, not only Havas Yisrael, as much as all the modern rabbis, more. But there is no such thing as peace at all costs. That's a ridiculous idea. No one, even those who advocate peace at all costs, they only have preference at all costs at the expense of the Jewish people, of Jewish lives, but not at the expense of their comfort in the United States. That's not peace at all costs. Why not? Give way everything to the Arabs, even more to Yerushalayim, to satisfy the Pope, to satisfy Arafat, to satisfy everybody at all costs, but not at the expense of depriving some of the millionaire Jews, billionaire Jews, of their comfort and luxury in the United States. No one is capable of advocating such a ridiculous notion, peace at all costs. They say all costs because these costs are not important costs to them. That's why they say peace at all costs. But when something important to a person is at stake, then no person will advocate peace at all costs. So, even in coping with the severity of Idosom Vavion, and of course, we have to exercise tolerance, we have to exercise a lot of consideration and perseverance, but we cannot ignore Chas V'Sholem, Tzedek and Emes, to pervert justice and righteousness in order to attain a spurious peace. Chas V'Sholem. So, even in coping with the severity of Jews, so there has to be a mizuk of the midas of Moshe, of Tzedek and Emes, and the midas of Chesed and Shalom, the midas of Aaron. But in coping with the problems of the Jewish people, their own problems, their own spiritual and moral problems, their own spiritual stability, while we have to exercise both midas, both types of midas, chesed and sholem, and tzedek and emes, were the predominant midas in coping with the Jews themselves, are the midas of I, not the midas of Moshe. Who are you, Moshe? Asher omar ad Hashem lehem, who itziu es nei Yisrael, mi'eretz Mitzrayim al tzibayisam. But in the other mission, to cope with Paray in the same Yisrael, in the mission to cope with the Arabs, we also have to meet out chesed and shalom. Those who speak a militant language are not Bali Torah, even if they represent themselves as Rabbanim and mention the Rambam on television, they don't represent Das Torah, Hashkofas Torah in any way. And they don't even know what the Das Torah is. They don't consult Poskim like Rav Moshe Feinstein, whether they are right in their approach or not. Their approach is grounded in their emotions. And then all the quotations from the Rambam doesn't make any sense. It's just a rationalization. Even in coping with the riches of the Sinai Israel, with Parimach Mitzrayim, we still have to exercise not only Tzedek and Emes, justice, righteousness, and even sometimes retribution, but we also have to exercise Chesed and Shalom. But in coping with Parimach Mitzrayim, with the austerity of Sinai Yisrael, while we have to exercise both, but the predominant midas have to be the midas of Moshe, not the midas of God. The midas of Tzedek and Emes. Imam Dabrim al Pari Melach Mitzrayim, Vehitzi Ezne Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, Hu Moshe Ve'arayim. Moshe first, and Aaron later. But in Pasuk Chavod, where the Torah deals with the mission to cope with the Jews themselves, assimilated Jews, servant Jews, Jews who consider Mitzrayim as an Eretz Zoroas, Chol V'Dvash, Jews who have self-hatred. Still, we have to, in coping with them, we have to exercise the midas of Moshe, of Tzedek and Emes, and the midas of Aaron, of Chesed and Shalom. But in that task, in that encounter, so Aaron is first, the midas of Chesed and Shalom are first, and then the midas of Moshe, of Tzedek and Emes. So this is the meaning of the Chazal. Yesh mikimi shemagdim Aaron Meshe, Yesh mikimi shemagdim Mishel Aaron, Leima lechoshesh kulim keachot. Not that personality-wise, Meshe and Aaron are shkulim chas v'sholem. No one was shokul k'meish. No one! But as far as the midas symbolized by Moshe and symbolized by Aaron are concerned, so shkulim. Sometimes the midas of Moshe are the predominant midas. And sometimes the need is apparent, are the predominant. This is the meaning of the Medrash. Vayimer Adishem El Arei Leich Likras Moishe Hamdoro Vayilech Vayitishei Ba'ar Lekim Vayishek Lei. It was a rendezvous in meeting between Moishe and Arei. That meeting represented a meeting of the Midas of Moshe and the Midas of Arei. Chesed Ve'emes Nidgoshu. Tzedek v'sholei nashok. What it remarked? Let's analyze this pasuk in Tehillim, because this pasuk in Tehillim is followed by another pasuk. A remarkable pasuk. Every pasuk is remarkable. When I say remarkable pasuk, I only mean that it is a pasuk in which it is important to delve into. Perek Behei, Pasuk Yudalef, and Pasuk Yudbeis. Chesed ve'emes nidgoshu, tzedek v'sholem nashok. Emes mi'aretz titzmoch, v'tzedek mishamayim nishu. Apparently, Pasuk Yudbeis is explanatory of Pasuk Yudalef. And it is to be noticed that in respect to the seemingly apparent dichotomy and disharmony there is a difference between Nidgoshu and Nashok. Franklin Delano Roosevelt met with Stalin many times. It was Nidgoshu, but never was it Nashok. Never was it Nashok. Gorbachev, I think, also met. So it was Nidgoshu, but Nashok, far from Nashok. Fortunately, far from Nashok. So, why is it that David HaMelech, in discussing the reconcil- the conciliation between Chesed and Emes, so employs the term Nidgoshu? Chesed and Emes met. To negotiate it. But when you meet, does it mean that one surrenders to the other? Well, sometimes, you know, of course, when modern Jewish leaders meet with Christian leaders, they are ready to give all kinds of concessions, at all costs. Not at the cost of their own comfort, that's not. But all costs, even giving up territories in Israel, why not? It will not touch them. Why not? So, many times, two conflicting parties meet, they negotiate, and sometimes, so they manage even to make mutual concessions to each other, but they don't embrace each other. They don't make an alliance. There is such a difference, such a divergence between Nidgoshu and Nashok. Apparently, according to this pasuk in Tehillim, between Chesed and Emes, there can be meeting, there can be negotiation, there can be slight concessions, but not Nashok. Between Tzedek and Cholem, not only can there be a meeting, there can be Nashok too. There can be an alliance. Why? Why? Now, in order to understand this person, we have to understand first the scope of Tzedek and the scope of Emes. Superficially it appears that Tzedek and Emes are the same thing. Well, the Goyim says there is no such thing as Shemis Hamshutav. Every word has its own distinct meaning. But I don't think the Tzedek and Emes are classified among the Shemis Hamshutav. Tzedek, Tzedoko, Mishpot can be classified as, among the Shemis Hamshutav. But Tzedek and Emes, I'm not aware. And even if they are classified as Shemis Hamshutav, as the Goyim says, Shemis Hamshutoshim also are not the same. Every one of the Shemis Hamshutoshim has its own distinct meaning. So we have to know what is Tzedek and what is Emes. I think that this is also pointed out in the next passage. Emes mi'aretz titzmoch, v'tzedek mishamayim mishkot. The Emes, the truth, has to sprout forth from the ground, from the soil, from the earth, like a plant, like a tree. Tzedek, justice, righteousness, mishamayim mishkot, has to be beheld from the skies above. The Tzedek is not to be visualized as something that should sprout forth from the ground like a tree, like a vegetable, but has to be perceived as something appearing in the skies above. Why? Now there is a matter of embraces. That when the Rebbeinu Shalom decided to create the world, so then the Chesed said, the great man, it's not in respect to the world at large, in respect to man. So the Chesed says, Yibore, it's a good idea to create man, because Gimel Chesed, man is innately a Gimel Chesed. The Emes said, no, Al Yibore, because man innately is not in Chesed. Chesed is an innate quality. Emes, innately every person likes to make compromises. It's more convenient. To be wicked is not even a practical thing. One worst practical wisdom knows of the concept that prevails among many American politicians. Live and let live. Why be wicked? So stupid to be wicked. But to be Emes, that's very hard. That has to be cultivated. So the Emes said, Al Yibore, it's Deva Shkorin. Human being innately is disposed to be Deva Shkorin. Not to be sincere, not to be genuine, to use double talk. That's human nature. Ma'os HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not all as our Emes Yishlichi Lo'aretz. He took the Emes and he dropped it on earth. Shenema Emes Mi'aretz Titzmoch. What's the concept in this seemingly strange HaKadosh Chazal? Because it's not the instinct to shoot it, to put Emes to the earth, Shemema Emes Meretz Yitzchak. But Chazal are trying to point out that in order that the world should survive, so then we cannot insist upon the whole Emes should be realized at once. Then the world will not survive. The Emes, of course, the aspiration is to be called the Emes, but the Emes can be achieved gradually. like planting the tree, it takes long time. You see, and many seeds you put in the soil, they don't result in the outgrowth of a tree. Only you put in 100 seeds, so one of the 100 will result in the outgrowth of a luscious tree. But most of the seeds that are put in the ground do not give such good results. And then, even if it results, so it's a gradual process. You can't plant a tree now and enjoy the fruits next day. Certain trees, so it takes 70 years. The Gemara in Times mentions a charubim tree, a carob tree, so it takes 70 years. When Chini Amago fell asleep, so he observed how a man was planting a charubim tree. When he woke up 70 years later, he saw how a person was enjoying the fruits of the tree. It's not such a simple thing. And it's not a simple thing. There are certain fanatics, they advocate a revolution. Immediately! The MS, as they understand it. Of course, most of the time it happens to be the epitome of Shekhar. But the MS is they understand it. Communism. They understand it. So, to them, this represents the essence of MS, what they want. At all costs. My mother, Zechino Levorach, told me a story about Trotsky, Leon Trotsky. He was together with Lenin in the Bolshevist Revolution. So in the years 1903, 1904, 1905, many Jewish youngsters were involved in the revolutionary endeavor to overthrow the Tsarist regime. And Trotsky was already considered a leader, you know, on the Bolshevist revolutionary idea. Some Jewish leaders visited Leon Trotsky. They clearly, he believes in communism. But if the Bolshevist goal would be carried out, it would involve so much of bloodshed against the Jews, because Jewish anti-Semites who make pogroms, and hundreds and maybe thousands of Jews might chas v'sholem be killed. Trotsky answered them, if the Bolshevist revolution has to be lived, if the wheels of the Bolshevist revolution have to be lubricated in the blood of the Jewish people, let the wheels be lubricated more and more. More and more, he said. He was a fanatic. Why? Because he didn't believe in MS Maristis. No, I'm Chas v'Sholem, and no one in the Chesh of me that I consider Bolshevism, communism, as MS. But he considered it as MS. But if he hadn't been a fanatic, he would understand. He believed in Bolshevism. But why don't you try to convert the human society into a communistic society? Gradually. Yeah, it's gradually. Through legislation. Step by step. To sow seeds. And sell the idea of communism to the people, to the masses, so that through democratic processes, so every country, the government will be based upon communistic ideas. Now, if the Bolshevist revolution requires blood and blood. Let the wheels of the Bolshevist revolution be lubricated with the blood of every people, and especially with the blood of the Jewish people. Of course, everybody is very generous at the expense of the blood of the Jewish people. So, he didn't understand, he was a fanatic. He didn't understand the meaning of Emes Me'aretz Yitzma. So, without Emes, it's Me'aretz. We cannot achieve Emes by the whole world, by other people, immediately. It has to be done gradually, in a nice way, Derech HaSholem, by conviction, by education. And sometimes, and that's the Derech HaTorah, Emes has reference to the conversion of the whole world, of imparting the truth to other people. That's Me'aretz. You can't achieve it by force. You can't. But tzedek mishamayim nishkaf. But when it's a question, tzedek has reference to a just and righteous behavior by the individual himself. Never mind the other people, but by the individual himself. If, let's say, a certain doctor, now, United States, I mean, of course, a blessed country, which other country is so dedicated to chesed and to justice on a domestic level, not on an international level, unfortunately, but on a domestic level as the United States. On an international level, unfortunately, it's not dedicated to chesed or justice at all, in any way. But on a domestic level, the United States is dedicated to chesed, to justice and to righteousness more than any other government in the world. But, unfortunately, in the last few decades, very unfortunately, to the shame of the American people, the United States Supreme Court has rendered certain decisions in regard to abortion that made abortion like, you know, an ice cream soda. It's a matter of taste. That's all. If a woman decides that she is to have an abortion because she doesn't want to bother with too many children, she has two children, that's enough. Then, unexpectedly, she'll give birth to another child. She doesn't want it. So, she can go to a doctor, have an abortion without any hardship situation, nothing. It's very unfortunate. It's a perversion of justice, a perversion of justice, a perversion of righteousness. It involves an element of Shechazdom. And Shechazdom is one of the Isurim that are universal. They apply to all men. It's of the Zionists and the Neach. Very important in the United States of America. That happened. So, I get childless. In Chicago, I give a lecture every month to doctors, and at almost at every lecture, there are about 40 doctors who attend the lecture. And the 40 doctors are not just Shemitah Shabbos. I remember 50 years ago when it was mentioned to me or to anybody, that doctor is Shemitah Shabbos, that was me. Such an unusual phenomenon, Dr. Shemitah Shabbos. Today, I mean, in Chicago itself, we have about 80 doctors. And the least of them has gone through a yeshiva high school education. The least of them, many of them are shmochim, tall, tall up at the Hayomi, and who daven b'tzibur and everything. I mean, so many. So sometimes I get tired. Let's say a doctor is in that situation and he gets a call from a patient of his. She wants to have an abortion. Why? Not because of any heart situation. Chas v'shalom. Nothing at all. She just doesn't want to bother. She wants to work. Not that she needs to work in order to make a living. Her husband might even be in the area. But she likes to work. She wants to be in career work. So because of that, she wants to have an abortion. That was the doctor. I like it. But he's only a beginner. He's a resident in the hospital. And if you refuse, so be fired. So of course, what is it like? Under no circumstances. Like being tired. According to Rambam, maybe it's yours or the other also, according to Rambam. Whatever is not, but just like this, in order to preserve the job, has to show. So that's tzedek. That's a question of tzedek. So, tzedek tzedek mishamayim mishkaf. When it's a question of the person himself, can he perpetrate an act that involves a perversion of justice, chas v'shalom? As far as tzedek is concerned, there is no excuse. It has to be gradual. Now, mishamayim mishkaf. Don't look down upon the earth whether the tzedek sprouts forth or not. So, unfortunately, the tzedek does not as yet sprout forth from the earth. But mishamayim, what does it say? We have to behold the idea of justice, the idea of righteousness, as it appears to us in all its brightness, and in all its glory, high in the skies, above space. What does it say? No. Never mind. You lose your position. You won't be a doctor, so you won't be a doctor. So you'll be a carpenter. You are smart enough to become a doctor. You'll certainly be smart enough to be a carpenter. And even if you aren't, so you'll be a pauper. So you'll be mechazer l'psochim. Shchonoch in your day of paskins, that if somebody forces a Jew to be either unloved, even if he has to give up all his property and remain in the chazer of Tzochim all his life, so he has to do it. Tzedek mishamayim mishkaf. Tzedek is reference to the just and righteous behavior by the individual himself. Not vis-a-vis others, not to impart the message of justice and righteousness to others. Don't look down to earth. What the Supreme Court of the United States decided. Never mind what the Supreme Court. Never mind what the media says. Never mind what the newspapers say. Of course the newspapers will say that an abortion, that's the business of the woman. It's nobody's business. Nobody's business. And modern people certainly cannot deny that a fetus is a living soul. Modern people deny that. Every child in the first grade in kindergarten knows that once fertilization takes place, so it's already considered, according to science, as a living being. And the fetus, after 40 a day, certainly, even the brain is falling in the 40th day. And that's probably the reason, I think, as to why the halacha declares a fetus as at 40 days, at the age of 40 days, because the brain is formed embryologically at the age of 40 days. So whatever, everybody knows, but still, it's the woman's business. So you'll have to look at the Supreme Court decision the way the idea of justice is interpreted by the Supreme Court of the United States. Nonsense. Tzedek mishamayim nishka. Look up, raise your eyes above, and consider what does the divine idea of justice and righteousness of tzedek imply. What do you think? The divine idea of justice and righteousness. Tzedek mishamayim nishka tells us under no circumstances, perhaps in your vayavet, perhaps in your vayavet, but certainly not any other harsh situation can dispense with the obligation not to do away with the life of a fetus. Mishamayim nishka, not me'aretz nisbah, but in the midst. With the question, no doctor ever asked me that question. But there are some, not Jews, I don't know whether I should say fortunately or unfortunately. I'm tempted to say unfortunately, because how is it that there are Jews who are ready to demonstrate against everything, against apartheid, they'll demonstrate and they'll scream and they'll demand sanctions. How is it there are no Jews who volunteer, very few Jews, to demonstrate against the abortion clinics? So you can say, fortunately, because it's an ethical approach to demonstrate and to utter, you know, impolite expressions against the Supreme Court, it's not consistent with Derech HaTorah. So it's fortunate, but it's unfortunate, because in view of the fact there are so many Jews who demonstrate against apartheid and do not demonstrate against the abortion. But if no doctor ever asked me such a shot, I don't know, I say fortunately for myself that no one asked me such a shot. But if a doctor will ask me, should I participate in a demonstration against the abortion clinics and to offer slogans that are not most polite, I would tell him, no. Emes mi'aretz titzmach. It's not that somebody wants you to perform an abortion. You want to demonstrate, to impart in a radical way, in a drastic way, the message of Emes to everybody. No, that shouldn't be a fanatic. Emes mi'aretz titzmach. That's not the way to get a reversal of the Supreme Court decision. The way is mi'aretz. You have to sow the seeds by educating the children, the youngsters, by imbuing them with moral values. They shouldn't think that moral and spiritual values are matters of taste. Some like ice cream, some don't like ice cream. Some like what is it? Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola? What was it? The Machlokes. I don't remember. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, I really don't remember. It was a big Machlokes. The first Coca-Cola or the second Coca-Cola. There was a big Machlokes. What is it? Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola, like that. There was no Machlokes in regard to Pepsi-Cola. So, Coca-Cola. So, moral values, spiritual values are like Coca-Cola. So some like the first Coca-Cola, some like the second Coca-Cola, and some don't know, I mean. So moral values, spiritual values I like Coca-Cola today. Coca-Cola today. So you demonstrate. So what do you accomplish? You declare there's a fanatic. Sometimes you might even be put to drink. So Emmis Maris, if it's a question of your own behavior, so tzedek nishamayim nishkat. Then you don't have to look at the ground whether the tzedek is planted or not. It's not attached to the ground. So what? But nishamayim nishkat. The concept of justice, righteousness, appears in all its glory, in all its brightness. High above, above all the planets, Nishamayim, Tzedek, Tirdo. So why should we worry about the United States Supreme Court decision? And even if the alternative would be to be put in prison, so a doctor should not agree to perform an abortion. But MS, it's a question of demonstrating, of imparting it to others, then reality is good. You have to be realistic. Kishen she mitzvah leimad, dover ha-nishmo kach mitzvah shaloi leimad, dover she'en ha-nishmo. Why not? Echiyach. The answer is Emes Meres Mitzvah. You cannot convey the message of truth to other people through debt service. So Emes Meres Mitzvah, the tzedek nishamayim nishka. That's the reason as to why the Pasuk says, Chesed ve'emes nidgoshu, tzedek v'sholem v'shoko. In respect to the conflict that exists between Chesed and Emes, there is always a conflict between Chesed and Emes. It's only nidgoshu. There is a conflict between, I'll use these expressions, even though I hate to use them. There is a conflict between Orthodox Judaism on one hand and conservative and reformed Judaism. I hate to use these expressions because when somebody uses the expressions, it might be interpreted that there are three denominations in Judaism. That's the most ridiculous concept that I read in the newspaper. Three denominations, conservative, Reform, Orthodox. Everybody asks you that question. He asks me also, are you Orthodox? Are you an Orthodox rabbi? Or you are Reformed rabbi? And Strobus asked me only a week ago whether I'm Orthodox or Reformed. Because she gave me a meal and I refused to take it. Of course it wasn't a kosher meal. So she asked me, you are an Orthodox rabbi, not a Reformed rabbi. I said, yes. Anyway, so I hate using these expressions because there is no such thing as a conservative or Reformed Judaism. That's a misnomer. Conservative Reformed Judaism, that's a falsification of the others in the most despicable way. But what should I do? That's part of the lingo today. So there is a conflict between Orthodox Judaism on one hand and conservative and reformed Judaism on the other. So then the question is, what should we do? What should we do? How should we cope with it? So should we be generous towards reformed Jews? Of course we have to be generous towards reformed Jews, towards assimilated Jews, towards everybody. And I mentioned the OU Convention years ago when a Alexander and Ethel Rosenberg were convicted to die on the electric chair for espionage activities, so then Harav Herzog, Harav Herzog, and Harav Ziel and the Chazon Ish sent cables to the outgoing president Truman and incoming President Eisenhower, that to commute the sentence. And why was he convicted to die in the electric chair? Because George Kaufman, a conservative Jew, in order to show his patriotism to the American patriots, so he convicted Mr. and Mrs. Rosenberg to die on the electric chair, even though Professor Oppenheimer, who certainly was the greatest expert on the nuclear secrets and the atomic bomb, he said it was impossible, physically impossible for a person who was not a great scientist to convey any important information in respect to the atomic bomb to Soviet Russia. Just impossible. In other words, it wasn't even true. Oppenheimer said it. And Oppenheimer knew better than George Kaufman. But George Kaufman, see, of course, he wanted to make a show of Yeshua retributions against an American spy for Soviet Russia. So the Chazon Ish and the Rav Herzog and the Rav Zuel persevered in sending cables, and they even made telephone calls to save the life. And someone mentioned, well, he's an atheist, the atheist. Chazon Ish told him, never mind the atheist. The Chazon Ish, he mentioned it in the Sefer, that the whole halacha of Meridian Remiring doesn't apply today. So when it's a question of chesed to reform Jews, assimilate the Jews, even atheists, even mulachis, of course we have to exercise chesed. And we cannot say, for the sake of MS, how can we act generously towards apikorsim, towards reform Jews, towards atheists? No. There has to be a conciliation between Chesed and Emes, but only if Kosher. There can be a mizuh between Torah Yahadus, all right, let's call it Orthodox Judaism, all right? Torah Yahadus and those who reject Torah Nashamayim. There cannot be no shakar. We have to negotiate with them. Maybe in respect to certain matters, we can join. But Chas V'Sholim to make him a liar? Between Torah Yahadus and the Reform Rabbi? Chas V'Sholim! A common bezdin for gayers? For gayers? Chas V'Sholim! It is true that many of those who advocate this idea, they are motivated to Shem Shamayim. They have the purest motives. I said it at the OU convention, I say it again and again. They have the purest motives. But, as I said at the OU convention, why the Malach said to the Malach HaKazarim, Machshavticho Ritzuyo Yitzhak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amol Ma'asecho Einam Ritzuyim. The motive is sublime by some of them, not all of them. There are some so-called modern Orthodox rabbis who do not have a sublime motive, who are just advocating all kinds of alliances with Reform Jews in order to promote their own status in the eyes of the Reform Jews, I'm not talking about them. They don't deserve to be criticized. I am talking those who are motivated to Shem Shamayim, who have sublime motives to reduce Mamzeres to a minimum. And I know what havoc the Reformed, especially conservative rabbis, much more than the Reformed, have done on a spiritual level to the Jewish people. I have all kinds of shyness in Chicago, shyness of Mamzeres, because of the havoc done by conservative rabbis. And I know now it was mentioned, I think, by the president of the Rabbinical Council of America, that according to the statistics, that every year there are 30,000 gayos taking place in the United States of America, exclusive of Canada. 30,000 gayos, and 2,000 of the 30,000 are carried out by Outlax Rabbonim. By Outlax Rabbonim. 28,000 are carried out by Reform rabbis and conservative rabbis, which is no deals. That means that the Reform rabbis and the conservative rabbis are contaminating the Jewish people. It's poor Jews. Such a ridiculous idea. Make common bestie for chaos. I said at the OU convention that this is a ridiculous idea. It's like making the proposal at the convention of mathematicians. You know, everybody knows one doesn't have to be a mathematician. I'm not a mathematician, but I also know that. And I think that even a kindergarten child knows it. A triangle has 180 degrees. Suppose one mathematician can make a proposal at a mathematician's convention. There are such great minds and such great mathematicians. They should work on a special project of constructing a triangle, not of 180 degrees, but three times as much, 540 degrees, three times as much. That will be an illustrious, glorious line, not just 180 degrees, but 540 degrees. How can you compare a regular triangle that has only 180 degrees with an illustrious triangle that has 540 degrees? So what will be answered by the mathematicians, all the mathematical geniuses? It's impossible. It's mathematically impossible. Halachically speaking, it's mathematically impossible to appoint a common destiny with representatives from the Orthodox denomination. Conservative Reform is ridiculous. By definition, a destiny consists of competent Balayoyalikim and Pkim Baloche. That's by definition of a best. You make a common best consisting not only of Orthodox Poskim, but of conservative Poskim, Reform Poskim. So it's a triangle consisting of 540 degrees, not a triangle. It's not a best. But the motive of Shem Shamayim to reduce Mamzeres to minimum, and I know of the problem, but they are making a big blunder. I'm making it be longer. This will not reduce Mamzeres to a minimum. This will escalate Mamzeres to a maximum. But suppose it will reduce Mamzeres to a minimum. So, we cannot. That would be a perversion of Tzedek. So, Chassid Sholem, Tzedek Mishamayim Mishkav. We cannot perpetrate a perversion of justice, of righteousness, in order to attain peace. So, Chesed v'Emes Nifgashim, there can be a meeting, we can talk, We have to be polite to them. We have to be generous to them. We have to do everything to help them to solve their problems. But chas v'sholem no shakol, chas v'sholem to have an alliance. But tzedek v'sholem between real shalom and tzedek, there can be a real alliance. So tzedek v'sholem is no shakol. I trust this.
Amen.